Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
We're live in front of our San Antonio audience, and we're going to have a lively show because, you know, when the energy is up with the audience, it brings our energy up. So enjoy this one. Share it with a friend. First, Geico. Right now, Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. 15% on top of the money Geico could already be saving you. So what are you waiting for? Let's get to getting, man. There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. Save that 15%, and you should be with Geico anyway. You'd be saving already. And then the 15 on top of that at geico.com.
Hey, hey, hey. This is NFL Hall of Famer Ray Lewis. I'm excited to announce the launch of my new podcast, Everyday Greatness, the Ray Lewis Podcast. I'll be talking with friends, family members, old teammates, athletes, celebrities, moguls, and guess what? I'll be talking to you. Listen, this is all in the search for everyday greatness. So I'm asking you to come along with me on this ride. Download new episodes of Everyday Greatness, the Ray Lewis Podcast, every Friday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on PodcastOne.com. It's not what you have, it's what's inside of you that actually inspires greatness.
Live from Laugh Out Loud Comedy Club in San Antonio, Texas, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Kyle Dunnigan, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, here to see the Alamo before the woke folk tear it down, Adam Carolla!
Thanks, you guys. I do appreciate it. It's great to be in your town. I got a haircut a half hour ago. Got my second haircut in Texas. My last two haircuts, I had to travel to Texas so I could get a haircut. The brows I did in Houston last time. So I don't... I feel like Houston is a brow kind of town. I know it sounds like a Dean Martin song, right? Houston is a brow kind of town. Hey, gents, when you're looking for a wax, ha! But so I didn't get the brows done, but I got the haircut. A lot of fucking questions when you get your haircut now, like. When I was younger, I would just sit down and they would just cut your hair. And if you were like, I usually wear, they're like, I'll do it the way I'm going to fucking do it. That's because I'm the hair cutter. Like, because you wouldn't go in and get like your transmission serviced and go like, I usually go with a 40 grade. The guy would go, get the fuck out of the garage. Like, right? That's kind of what getting haircuts were. Like, you just sat down and you got your haircut. Women, you guys talk. I mean, that's fine. But dudes, so women do a lot of, like, I wear it longer, I don't want my bangs, or I want it to fade, or whatever the fuck you want your tips frosted, or whatever you're doing. But guys traditionally did not have conversations with the barber. You might point at a drawing of hair. Like, give me the 15. Number 15. Yeah, from 1947. The guy was in the Navy. That guy. Like, but you wouldn't talk about it. And this guy's like, we had to have a long, like, encounter session about what we were going to do with my hair. And they always did, like, I go, just cut it short on the side and, like, leave it longer on the top. And they go, what number clipper would you like? And I go, I don't know. Who am I? Like Bob Wall of the Wall Clipper Company? Like, hold on, let me call my dad. Dad, when you invented the Clippers in 1931, like, I don't know what number my shit, let me check my wristband, like Tom Brady has. Like, I don't know. So they're like, well, I could do the number 2 on the side and then, like, the 4 on the top. All right, well, just as long as it adds up to a 6, I'm fine. You want to do a 3-3, you want to do 5-1, it doesn't matter. This is a 6 at. So a lot of discussion about, like, what he was going to do, how short. Did we want to see scalp through the hair? I'm like, I don't know. Is that ever a good thing, seeing scalp through your hair? I don't think it's ever a positive to see scalp through the hair. Either you got you're going into prison or you're balding. Like, it's one or the other. So I was like, I cut it short on the sun. And a lot of talk about what they want to do with your sideburns. You want to raise them up. You want to bring them down. You want to shorten them up a little. Then you get to the back part. You want them square. Do you want it round? Like, what do you want to do with the back? So we had a long discussion about my hair, but we ended up with this. And then I'll be back. I don't know. Maybe I'll go to, like, Austin in 2 months and get my third haircut, I guess. I don't know. You cannot get a haircut in Los Angeles, so I must travel to Texas. Also, we went out. We got Tex-Mex food. Well, hold on. It sounds good, right? It's got the word Tex and Mex in it. It's good. It's Tex-Mex. How can you go wrong with fucking Tex-Mex? I'll tell you how you can go wrong. I ordered, my favorite thing when I go out for Mexican food is enchiladas. I love fucking enchiladas, and I love it. I love the red sauce. I just go with the cheese. I don't put the chicken or the beef in there. I go enchilada, because everyone's like, well, don't you like chicken? Yes, I like chicken, but that's not an enchilada. Enchilada is just cheese and sauce. That's a fucking enchilada. They go, you like chicken? Don't you like chicken? Yeah, I like chicken, and I like pizza, but I don't like fucking chicken on my pizza. You understand? That's how I eat. I eat like a human being. I eat like a fucking rational person, not a terrorist. But what fucking chicken? I'll get a chicken tacos. Fine, even though I'm not retarded. I'm not going to get chicken tacos. But I get the enchiladas. I get the cheese enchiladas. Give me the cheese enchilada. And the little beef fajita on the side. The guy goes, okay. Digging into my cheese enchiladas. They taste weird. They taste strange to me. Like enchiladas I've never had before. I've had enchiladas with the white Mexican cheese. I've had enchilada with all Monterey cheese, Monterey Jack, and cheddar. I've never experienced this cheese. You know why? Because you fuckers put American cheese in your enchiladas. Fucking no, right? No. No, I hate synthetic Velveeta American cheese, and they put it in my enchilada, and the guy didn't say shit. And here's the whole thing. Here's my whole thing with all you fucking waiters and waitresses out there in the world. You're allowed to serve your fucked up version of whatever it is you're fucking desecrating that I enjoy. But you have to tell me. Because when I order cheese enchiladas, you have to then stop and go, oh, you like enchiladas? And I'll go, yeah, that's why I'm ordering cheese enchiladas. And then you go, you're going to hate what we've done to enchiladas. And then I go, why? Who could fuck up an enchilada? Oh, no, we put Velveeta in there, in which case I'd go, fucking no. I would do a shoulder roll outside the front door. I would fucking kick open the front door and do a shoulder roll out into the fucking sidewalk if you told me you put Velveeta as the cheese in the enchilada. And by the way, cheese enchilada, cheese is the first word you hear. It's cheese, then it's enchilada. It's not fucking the cheese that they're grating on top of the enchilada. It is 76% of the enchilada. There's a term that goes the whole enchilada. Well, this whole enchilada is fucked up with Velveeta cheese. And I was like, I can't think like a serial killer. So like it had all the red sauce and everything on it. I was eating it. I was like, this tastes peculiar, this enchilada. But we're at a fine Tex-Mex restaurant. I then gave a taste to Chris and a taste to Mike. And they were like, it does taste weird. It tastes kind of like American cheese. And I said, oh, God, no, it can't be. And then the waiter came by, and I went, what kind of cheese do you put in this enchilada? He went, American. I was like, why did you fucking say that 22 minutes ago when I was killing myself? And then this shit, the worst person you can eat with, the two assholes I was eating with, Chris and Mike, they're like, it tastes good to us. Like, fuck you. Fuck you. Now I get my cheese enchilada, and I get completely nullified by you and your horrible, horrible, burnt-out taste buds.
Yeah, Adam, when you found out that it was American cheese, you were so defeated. You looked right at me, and we had the privilege of riding a private jet here yesterday. Adam was flying high, literally, and he looks at me straight in the eye and just goes, you ruined that private jet yesterday by taking me to this place.
It ruined it. It ruined it. Those cheese enchiladas. It ruined a magical 3.5-hour private jet trip. The whole weekend was destroyed by this fucking cheese. It's Velveeta. Oh, it's a picture of me.
This picture is the exact moment Adam found out it was American cheese.
I was so upset. I may never love again. I might not. And who knows, when I go back to L.A. and I'm strong enough to order enchiladas again, and I order enchiladas, but I'm a tattered shell of my former self. Like, I'm going to be like, what's in the enchiladas? And they're going to go, it's Monterey Jack. Are you sure? I'm going to walk to the kitchen and make sure. I'm going to talk to the guys making the enchiladas. I can't love enchiladas again. Fuck, so then I started thinking, is there something wrong with me? Because this asshole, Chris, kept going, it's Tex-Mex. This is the Tex part of the Mex. I'm like, this is wrong. This is a crime, right?
What are you doing?
Okay, what the fuck? You guys are from here. All right, we're going to go full Black Lives Matter on that restaurant after tonight. We're going to go down there. I got a rental car, so you guys can ride with me. We're going to burn that fucking place to the ground. This cannot happen. Again, you fuck up enchiladas any way you want, but if you're going to put cheese in your enchilada that's made from Exxon Petroleum Company, you have to sound off to me. You have to say something. All right. I saw... homeless guy with a humpback today. It's interesting. He's down at the Riverwalk. He's got a big old hump on his back. I wanted to lance it, but I didn't know. I don't know what protocol is around here. I went on the Riverwalk. I heard the cicadas. Is that what's buzzing away? What? First off, what are they? Oh, is that same as a cicada or is it different? Okay. I walked for 3 miles. I heard nothing but these fucking things with their noises. And I stared into every tree. I never saw one of them. I never physically saw an example of one. I said to the guy I was walking with, Mike August, because we were standing under a tree it was a deafening cicada racket, whatever noise they make, like crickets or whatever, right? We couldn't see one, so he looked one up on his phone, and we were standing underneath this tree that had 17,000 cicadas in it, and he was showing it to me on his phone, and I was like, this is so pathetic. We've come out here to convene with nature. You pulled something up on Google, and we're staring at it, bent over, under the tree that's filled with the animal that we're looking. But I couldn't see one. I've never saw one. I don't know what they do. Are they fucking? Are they eating? What's going on? Are they sleeping? Who eats them? Do ducks eat them? Do birds eat them? I don't know. And then later on, I think I saw one. Looked like a grasshopper or something, right? But erratic. You know, the scariest creatures are the... Look, here's the thing. Alligators are scary. They don't fly, but they're scary. And then there's like, you know, eagles, and eagles are scary, but they do fly. But the scariest things are the things that kind of fly. The scariest things are like grasshoppers and cockroaches, because when they fly, they're like, we're fucking drunk drivers of the air. Like, we have no, we don't normally fly, but we will fly, but we're not going to fly with any rhythm or direction that's recognizable by human beings. And I was walking down that river walk, and I was standing alone, and I was in front of this building, and some cicada grasshoppery thing like took off and started buzzing my head. There was a whole group of people. I looked like an insane person because I was running and waving and ducking and waving and running. And it's because this thing was so goddamn erratic. Dude, cicadas fly? Sort of, though, right? Yes. They run into shit, right? What are they for? Who eats them? What's going on? What's the noise they're making? Why are they making the noise during the day? Shouldn't they make that shit at night like crickets, right? And what are they saying? Are they sending something? And how come I can't see them? How come I stand under a tree with the deafening sound of cicadas and I cannot see anything moving? Do they live... Where are they? What's going on? Who's got a cicada? All right, this is stupid, but I just mean, do you guys see them in the trees and shit? Who eats them? All right, anyway, then I saw the homeless guy at the weird dump, the hump in his back. All right, should we bring on, let's see, who we got? Gina, we got Paul Bryan, we got Kyle Dunnigan joining us tonight. Are you guys here? Yeah. So, by the way, good evening.
Good evening to you, Adam. Okay, can I address a couple things off the top real quick? Cicadas are eaten by birds and squirrels.
Squirrels. Interesting.
Well, they're big enough, I guess.
Right.
How dare you with the seeing your scalp through your hair? That's very insulting.
That's hurtful.
Yeah. My recollection, I have hazy recollections of going to barbershops, but that was a part of my life from like age 8 to 12. And all I remember is like a lot of sports talk. You know, I went to like a guy's bar. It was called Guy's Barbershop, and it was all sports talk all the time. So you got that going for you.
Let me say... The barbershop used to be like Playboys and sports talk, and it's now become some weird realm of the tattooed, sleeved-up dude with the funky beard. It's become some funky steampunk kind of place. Like something happened to barbers where it used to be middle-aged dudes who just talk sports, and now it's sleeved-up, tatted-up hipsters with like wax in their mustache who
yeah,
want to talk about
80s look like
band.
They have to hurry along so they can tie a girl to the train tracks.
Yes, that's what it is. It's become some kind of weird hipster thing when it was always like old grandpa thing. Kyle Dunnigan?
Yeah, Kyle couldn't be here. It's Sylvester Stallone.
Sylvester Stallone, sorry.
Yeah, he's Stallone. Busy. He couldn't do this podcast.
Sly, where do you get your hair cut? And you're living in Los Angeles, right, Sylvester?
That's right. I cut my own hair, you know? I get 3 or 4 mirrors, and I duct taped them to the walls.
Oh, so you do it yourself.
That's right. A man does his hair himself. That's what I always say.
Same.
And how do you clean up your neck? Can you get to the back?
Oh, yeah, I got one of them back scratches, you know, and then I duct tape one of them electric razors to the back there, and then I just scrub around.
Oh, I would think that your upper arms and your back and shoulders were so muscular that you couldn't actually reach around yourself.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question, you know, but I do have one of those bent back scratches to go around my hugeness.
Oh, your hugeness, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, are you working... I know all the productions are kind of suspended, but you got Expendables, you got Rocky, I don't know,
you think... We got Expendables 95, we got Rocky 66.
All right.
All dems, you know?
Are you thinking about doing another Cliffhanger? That's one of my favorite Stallone movies.
Yeah, we're going to do another Cliffhanger. And we're going to do another Cobra, too. You remember Cobra?
Oh, do I remember Cobra?
Is it watch Christmas? It.
But this one's called Gardner Snake.
Garter Snake.
Gardner Snake.
But well, wait a second. I don't want to tell you how to write your movie, but Cobra was the fella's name, your character's name in Cobra was Cobretti. That was his full name, right?
Yeah.
This Marion
guy's name is Gardner Snake. Mike Gardner Snake.
His son?
Yeah. No, it's a totally different guy. He looks
just
like
me. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Long. Okay.
What if his name was like Bob Cicada?
Oh, that's not bad. You know, we already wrote and shot the movie, though, so maybe the next
one. Oh, okay, yeah, you don't want to have to fix, you don't want to fix that. So we got Rocky. We got Rocky Balboa. Oh, Balboa. You know, I'm curious. You got Mike Tyson is going to fight Roy Jones Jr. It's kind of like a old-timers fight. That kind of reminds me of Rocky Balboa. Any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I feel like they copied me, and there's a lawsuit pending that I'm issuing.
It's pending?
Yeah, I'm pending, like I'm deciding whether to issue this lawsuit. It is a pending in my mind.
How would you define pending?
You know, I don't know what that word totally means, but I get the gist of it, you know?
Right, but it's cool to say there's a lawsuit pending, even if you don't know what the word pending means,
yeah,
right?
Like I hear smart people say that all the time, you know?
Right.
Hey, Adam, what's happening with that audience? It looks half empty. Your career's not going so good. Why is that place half empty?
Right. Why is what?
Why there's so many empty seats?
We're socially distancing.
What for?
Well, we got COVID-19 pending. This is a...
Oh, that's that movie, COVID-19. I didn't see the first 18.
No, this is a... It's called
What happens? You got to catch me up because I can't just jump in. There's the 19th movie, you know?
Pandemic pending. It's like there's a pending pandemic.
What's that?
A pandemic is like a disease, but everyone could get it. You know, like...
Oh, like the pans. It's like a kitchen disease.
No. Like, all right. Now, see, here's what I'm saying.
It's spatulademics.
Remember that time you and I were drinking at Maria Menounos' house?
Oh, yeah. Maria Menounos. Benina Menounos with the backyard, the fire pit, nice.
Yeah, she pronounces her name Maria Menounos.
Yeah, Benina Menounos.
Yeah, okay, cool. You were at her...
Best friends, Benina Menounos.
Maria Menounos.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, and so we were at Maria Menounos' house, and we were talking in her backyard, and you were talking about one time in your 20s when you got crabs, right? And... Ooh. Yeah, and so what a pandemic is, it's like if you had crabs and everyone in your apartment building could catch it. You know what I mean?
You know, Adam, that crab store was kind of between me and you.
Yeah, I know. Well, right, but I figured it's only a half full room, so it's really...
That's right. Things aren't going so good in the Adam Carolla stand-up career, it appears.
So the pandemic is a disease that everyone could get around the world.
Why don't you just call it the everyone around the world could get a disease? Why you got to put some weird, you know, names of things in the kitchen there? You're not going to get by words.
You know what? It's not me. I'm just a messenger. I don't actually invent the terms. But either way, you've not heard of this thing at all?
You seem to know an awful lot about it for a guy who didn't invent it. That's all I'm saying. So, I'm no conspiracy theorist, but you seem to know a lot about this word.
All right. Well, the point is, I watch CNN. They say everyone can get it. I think 153,000 Americans have died of this, and maybe there's 4.6 million who already have it. So it's a very serious disease. I can't believe you haven't heard of it.
Yo, Adam, why don't you slow down all these numbers? You got my head spinning here.
What I'm saying is it's about 4.6 million.
Let me get a pen. Hold on one second.
All right. Here well, you we don't. Go. It's you know. You don't even need to do it. It's just
4 billion people.
Okay. No. It's like four. So the country has about 330 million people, right?
Jesus Christ! Is that right?
Yeah. And then, out of those 330 million, 4.6 million have been infected.
All right.
And then, out of that 4.6 million...
Hold on one second. Slow down. Am I dividing that?
No, I'm just saying...
Am I dividing those two numbers?
No, you don't need to do the math, Sly. It's just out of the 330, 4.6 have been infected, and about 153,000 people have died because of the COVID-19.
Hold on. Like this pen. This pen ain't right down the thing. It's... Depends out of ink.
Yeah, we're probably getting we're getting into the weeds here. All I'm saying is you got to wear a mask when you leave the house.
Huh?
You have to wear a mask when you leave.
I don't got to do nothing, you know.
No, you.
I'm strong. I'm an Italian stallion.
You have to put a mask on. You have to wash your hands with Purell. You got to take precautions.
I see one of these pans coming at me, Adam, you know? I start punching, knocking them down, just like I did Tommy Gunn before he got the AIDS.
Well, AIDS is a good example of what we're talking about here. So this is like an AIDS you can get, but you don't have to be on the business end of a glory hole. You can just get it from riding the subway.
I see. Okay. Okay, so the train is like, okay. I think I get what you're saying.
So imagine if you could get AIDS from riding the subway.
I do no butt sex on no subway. And don't you even infer this.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying having sex on the subway. I'm saying imagine...
That's illegal.
Imagine if you could get AIDS from riding the subway.
Well, that would be a very bad train. And I don't know how the business would go for that person running that train, but not
good. Okay. I'm just saying wear a mask. I know you like to smoke cigars when we were sitting in the back of Maria Menounos's house and you're...
Right. When I secretly told you about my crabs, you were supposed to tell no one.
I'm sorry. I just thought you're a public person. I thought you'd want to share that with... Again, it's a half-full house. Oh, wait.
There we are. Look at this. Look at these two handsome guys. Look at that. The Italian stallion. And what are you?
I'm the...
Hawaiian dweeb. It's the Italian stallion and the Hawaiian dweeb.
Yeah. I think myself as the Americana enchilada.
That's right.
You put the tax in the mix.
That's right. So... why don't we, maybe we should talk to Donald Trump. I feel like he'd be a guy.
Nah, let's keep talking to me. Just kidding. Hold on one second. Let me find out if this guy's around, you know?
Brian, Gina, any questions?
Well, you know, my family used to live in San Antonio, and I am extremely jealous of you right now. Very, very jealous. I would have very much liked to stow away on that hot jet with you.
Is your family? You said your family's from San Antonio?
Well, before I was born, that's where my brother was born, and my mom never misses an opportunity to remind me that was the greatest place she ever lived. Not where I was born, but where my brother was
born.
What
the hell?
Who cares?
What the hell was San Antonio like before air conditioning? I couldn't imagine living in San Antonio pre-air conditioning.
And I'm pretty sure they were in a double wide, fresh out of college.
Oh, you Jews with your trailers.
In San Antonio.
You went to Rizpa last night. There are a lot of trailer Jews. We do talk about that.
Poor Jews.
Hey, President Trump's on. President Trump?
These are lies, okay? No such thing as a poor Jew. She is lying.
No.
There is such thing as a lying Jew, though.
Lie. Okay. Everything. She's the opposite of terrific.
My grandfather was a poor Jew. There's a lot of poor Jews.
We're peasant people.
Prove it.
I don't know how to document that.
Dig him up. Prove it.
So President Trump, are you... First off, we just talked to, I guess...
Emperor Trump.
What's that?
Emperor Trump.
Oh, Emperor Trump. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I switched it.
Well, you're not going to... Are you going to leave if you lose the election?
No, emperors don't leave. It's for life, baby.
But don't you have to leave if you lose the election?
No, yeah, I'm in charge. I make the rules, okay? It's my house, my White House. You can't kick somebody out of their house. It's terrible.
But, President, I'm sorry, Emperor Trump...
yeah, watch your mouth.
Oh, I will try. Is it true that as a, you know, as a public servant, technically you work for us, though, right? You're our employee.
This is a great example, Adam, of how a woman's cranium is smaller than the man's. Okay. They don't have as much brains they could pack in there. So they ask these terrible, disastrous questions.
Right? Thank you. I'm
terrible
very...
question. You're a bad reporter. You're terrible. You're terrible. You're a disaster. Okay.
Thank you.
Do you think you're going to end up debating Joe Biden, or do you think he's not going to debate you because of this whole COVID-19 business?
He's scared of me. Look, he's stuck in the basement, okay? Kooky Joe. Coming up with new names, okay? Try to see what sticks. Kooky Joe, forgetful weirdo, stuck in his basement. He's scared, okay? And wouldn't you be scared of a very sharp, stable genius? This guy's losing it.
You think, Joe, I was talking to Dr. Drew today, seriously, and he was talking about Joe Biden's gait, how he walked, and he said he had some of that, he can see some of the Alzheimer's in the walk. So when you see, like, a person walk, you can kind of see it in them. He said he could see it in him a little bit. Do you think there's...
But it's walk gait.
Right, but Walkgate.
It's like Watergate, but it's Walkgate.
Right, but I think he's just going to choose a vice president, and then if he can't see out his full term, then the vice president that he chooses will end up doing the business. Do you have any thoughts about his vice president?
Look. Whoever the vice president is will be the president, okay? So you're voting for whoever his vice president is. And it's going to be terrible because it's going to be a woman. We talked about women's craniums. We've been through that. Okay. Much smaller. It'll be a disaster.
Mm. Yeah. Adam, I'm almost afraid to ask a question now after you lambasted Gina. But Emperor Trump.
Emperor Trump, very good.
Yes, you spent months, you know, sort of, you know, saying masks weren't very manly and being on the, anti-mask. And then very recently, you sort of flipped over and started wearing a mask yourself. I'm just wondering where you stand, what your advice is for people who go to public places like...
You have very high estrogen, okay, by that question you've asked.
Oh.
Masks are not cool. I don't wear masks. That's been a joke.
Past
2 weeks.
So, and how are you doing with Fauci? Are you guys friends these days? And is there a little rift between you and Fauci?
Yeah, I think he's actually here, to be honest with you.
Oh, Fauci. Oh,
that'll be a bonus.
Yeah. Fauci's there. I didn't know Fauci. I didn't know Fauci was there.
This is a surprise.
He's going down to the bunker, don't worry.
I did not know.
Adam, it's Dr. Fauci.
Oh, okay, Dr. Fauci. Yeah.
You have to wear a mask.
Yes.
Why are you wearing a mask?
I will. As soon as I get off stage, I put the mask on, Dr. Fauci.
No, you have to do it the whole time.
Well,
the audience should be wearing a mask.
I saw that clip with Jim Jordan and you going at it a couple of days ago. Is that okay? Has that been smoothed over?
Yeah, we got a beef. We're going to settle it in the ring.
Oh. Wow.
You and Jim Jordan.
I think Jim Jordan's a pretty good athlete. He's like a wrestling coach or something.
Yeah, but I'm tiny and I'm fast like a cat.
Fauci, a lot of people are making fun of you because of your first pitch throw out, but you're an 80-year-old man. That was really not a bad pitch for an 80-year-old man.
I didn't see where it went. Was it bad?
it didn't go the direction you were facing. Which always,
it was about 45 degrees off.
And you always want the ball to go the direction you're facing. When it goes another direction, that's usually a bad sign. Unless you're facing away from the catcher.
Yeah, I didn't want to hurt the catcher, so I threw it away.
Oh, that's nice.
I was worried because he was wearing a very big mask.
He's wearing a catcher's mask.
Yeah, it was a great mask.
How do you feel about Brad Pitt being nominated for an Emmy impersonating you for a 3-minute bit on SNL? That's got to be pretty exciting, right?
Yeah, we look alike, and he did a great job.
Well, I don't know that you look alike, but he made himself to look like you for the sketch.
Yeah, we're a couple of, you know, we crush pee. Me and Brad.
Crush pee?
Yeah. I crush it.
You and you and Brad Pitt crush pee together?
Yeah, we'll go out, you know, Sunset Strip with our masks on so people think I'm Brad Pitt. And then I'll go up and I'll, you know, pick up a couple of ladies and we laugh.
I was unaware of that, Dr. Fauci. Is there anything, do you think kids should return to school in the fall?
No, kids should never go back to school.
Oh,
ever?
Yeah, it's too dangerous because of the virus.
And what about returning to work?
No. Yeah.
And then, what about leaving the house?
No, don't leave your house, okay. Whatever you do.
And then, how about getting out of bed? Would that be okay?
Don't do that. Don't. That's too risky.
Okay.
Is it worth it, then, for us to even open our eyes?
Yeah,
in the
how
morning?
About open?
Those closed. Yeah, Gene's got a good point there.
Oh. Okay, and Dr. Fauci, how about chewing your food? Is it okay to chew your food?
I'd prefer you snort it up your nose.
And
blend your burger.
I was thinking about hugging my kids when I got back to L.A. Would that be?
They should be in a different state.
Okay, so. Brian, sir, were you going to say something?
No, this is all shocking to me. Do you have a take? Yeah, do you have a take on masks? And President Trump is pretty, you know, controversial. Emperor Trump is pretty controversial about it.
Yeah, Emperor Trump does nothing wrong. I don't say anything about Emperor Trump.
So, Dr. Fauci.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about taking an airplane back to Los Angeles tomorrow morning. Would that be okay?
I don't think you heard what I said. Stay in bed with your eyes closed, covered in masks.
Oh, okay, but I'm on stage now. Is it okay for me to leave the stage after the show?
You ever see that movie Boy in a Bubble?
Yeah, John Travolta.
Yeah. I would like you to be in one of those if you're going to do a show.
So are you saying that all Americans should just lay in bed and drink in shore from a straw and never open their eyes or sit up or get dressed or go to work or hug their children or participate in life in any form as we know it?
Yeah, now you got it. Unless you're going to be in the bubble like me and Brad, you're going to be crushing pee.
How?
Do you make sure the ladies show you their, you know, their COVID-free documents before you crush pee?
Well, no, these are hookers mainly, and my penile area is covered in masks.
I see.
So I'm just trying to work out the next 30 years of my life. Am I?
It's already done.
It's done. So you're saying at no point I'll be able to get out of bed or sit up or open my eyes?
It's too dangerous to have a life with this deadly virus out there.
But what if no one ever leaves their home, how are we to survive as a society?
I'm just a doctor. I'm not a life coach.
All
I'll tell you is don't leave your bedroom or open your eye sockets.
Is it okay to sleep on your back, or do we have to sleep in a fetal position?
No. Sleep on your face.
Do I have to wear a mask while I'm sleeping?
Yeah, put up. What you do is you put a mask on your pillow and then a mask in your face, and you sleep face down in your masks.
Seems elaborate.
And we can never leave the house again. Now, I have children. They're 14-year-old twins. What are they to do? Are they going to just raise them in my home till they're in their 40s?
Well, you know, there's a lot of children who grow up without parents.
Right, but okay. My kids live with their parents. That's it? Okay. But
I'm just a doctor telling
you. Yeah, no, I get it, but look, I don't want to be morbid here, Dr. Fauci, but you're 80 years old. After you die, am I allowed to leave the house?
I mean, if you want to die with me, go ahead.
And what about all these people at the club? Are they going to die?
Oh, they've got about 2 weeks to live.
Dude. All right, so go ahead and get the nachos. Like, splurge.
Go for the nacho cheese.
All right, should we do some news and Stallone or Fauci or Trump or I don't know who else we have on that on your
on bio. The dais?
Can on the dais can hang out with us while we do the news, yeah. Gina Grad?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
News
with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
It's Gina Grad.
Oh, it's Gina. We got stereo Ginas.
I'm her twin sister, Dina Grad.
Wow.
Dina, you know, we've had a very strained relationship, so I feel a little bit like Jerry Springer. I did not know this was going to happen.
I know. We went through some problems because we're sisters and we fight, but whatever, it's over. Do the news, Gina.
Okay, girl. Well, you know how I feel about people who break their silence. They're often not breaking anything that any of us care about. However, I have to say, when they say Ellen DeGeneres broke her silence, I tend to believe them. She wrote a memo to her staff talking about the allegations of her toxic work environment on her long-running show that includes sexism, intimidation, racism, and sexual harassment.
And that's all before noon.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
So in the memo to the staff, the host wrote that she will correct issues raised about the behind-the-scenes goings-on of the show. She said, as we've grown exponentially, I've not been able to stay on top of everything and relied on others to do their jobs as they knew I'd want them done. Clearly, some didn't. Now, one of the changes includes firing, don't know if it's a sacrificial lamb, don't know if this is the person causing all the problems, the executive producer, Ed Glavin. But Brad Garrett has some thoughts about it. He tweeted, you know, from Everybody Loves Raymond fame, of course, he tweeted, sorry, but it comes from the top, Ellen. I know more than one who are treated horribly by her. It's common knowledge.
Wow, when Brad Garrett is weighing in, you know we got an issue. Now, you know, his couple things. Number one, I'm not a fan of Ellen. I get she's a bitch. I went to a wedding. She didn't dance the whole night. I knew she was a phony. But with this whole workplace, it's getting a little out of hand. Workplace, it's got the word fucking work right in it. You go there to fucking work. If someone's got to look, who amongst us didn't have a boss who was an asshole when we were working? You know what I mean? I had every boss I ever had was a dickhead. When I worked at McDonald's. My manager was named Ken. He was an asshole. When I left that place, I went to a construction site. I had a guy named Mike Stramat. He was an asshole. Every boss I've ever had has been every coach, every teacher, every boss. I didn't like any of them. I fucking got along. Actually, all it did was want to make me be my own boss so I could be an asshole to myself. Now, dude, who grabbed my balls? Did someone grab Ellen's balls? What I'm saying is I have been to Ellen. I have done Ellen's show. Ellen's show has air conditioning and free food. That's enough. That's enough at the workplace. If your boss is an asshole after that, who gives a shit? Start your own show. I'm sorry. Alternate Gina? Wait, sorry. Yes, Brian.
I say, Sylvester Stallone, who's with us, has been on Ellen's show multiple times. So I'm wondering if, Sly, did Ellen grab your balls?
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of thing I hate to have a revelation, you know, on this show, but she grabbed the whole unit, you know.
Oh. She got the whole unit.
Big hands.
Thanks
yeah,
for
she's
the...
she's got very big hands.
Mm.
Or I got a tiny unit, but she got the whole thing in the palm of her hands there. And
now,
she said, you to me, you do
you
what I you said.
You didn't really... You didn't know the definition of the word pending. Do you know the definition of the word revelation?
Yeah, yeah, revelation.
Mm-hmm. What's that mean?
Yes, I do. That is correct.
All right, so use revelation in a sentence.
Well, I wanted some ketchup on my hot dog, revelation, and then I ate it.
I don't think that's the correct use of the word revelation.
I was blow-drying my revelation when my sister walked in.
So you're saying you had a revelation about Ellen because she grabbed your whole unit when you did her show.
Yeah, she said, you listen to me. You do what I say. And I peed into her hand. I was like,
I did not. That is a revelation.
That is a revelation.
That's a good, yes, a good use of the term revelation. So,
thank you.
I like that the whole world is turning on Ellen because I've been telling everyone how horrible she's been for a decade. But enough is enough. We're getting too soft on the job site. You're fucking there. Go to work, get paid, eat some free food at the craft service, and go the fuck home and complain to your spouse about what a bitch your boss is or what a dick your boss is. That's fine. We don't need to be having a good time all the time. Maybe that's what's going on. I think people want to go to work. It's like, I'm not having a good time at work. I know, because it's called fucking work. Now get to work. Like, what do you...
Adam, she is truly a horrible person.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is every beer commercial from the 70s was a whole bunch of dudes drinking Schlitz after work because work sucked and then you got to drink Schlitz. That's how we define the weekends. The only reason a weekend is good is because your job sucks. If your job was awesome, then weekends would be ruined. You fucking have to have a job you suck. We're fucking it all up. We're just blending all the weekdays. First off, there were 80 songs. The great Dolly Parton would sing 9 to 5.
That's right.
There's Working for the Weekends by Loverboy. There's Take This Job and Shove It. Like, every third country song was about how fucking horrible your job was, but how awesome Friday night was. It's like, why even bother getting drunk anymore? Why should you get shit-faced on a Friday night if you love your job? Thank you. So, learn to fucking hate that weekdays, learn to hate when the sun is up during the week. You guys, everyone should wake up Monday morning at 7:45 and go, oh, fuck, I got to go to that place with those people. And then you get an appreciation for money. Because when you hate your job, and then you come home, and you realize that your wife...
Oh, boy.
No, but what I'm saying is when you have a shitty job and all your coworkers are assholes and you hate your boss and then you come home and you say to your wife, what's for dinner? And she's like, I ordered $140 worth of sushi. You go, fuck, that was 9 hours of me working. I had to work in that shithole for 9 hours to pay for that fucking sushi. You start assigning a number to everything. When I used to work construction, I got $8 an hour to dig ditches, and I'd order an Amstel Light. I'd be like, that's 1 hour of digging. 1 hour of fucking digging, an Amstel Light. 1 hour. You back taxes out. That's 1 hour of me in a fucking hole for this beer. I'm going to enjoy it. Well, now you love your job. You don't love the Amstel Light anymore. We've ruined life for everybody because we put air conditioning and food into the workplace. Thank you. Thank you. I'm on stage right now. I am miserable. I wish this fucking place would burn to the ground so I could go home. But I'm going to appreciate my Amstel Light tonight. Yes. Sorry, Gina.
Thank you for sharing your truth.
Yes, that's my truth. Yes. Work is supposed to suck and your boss is supposed to be an asshole. Get it straight.
Is Portia de Rossi going to stand by her woman?
Oh, Portia de Rossi. That's interesting. She's, now is she, could Stallone, I mean Sly, could we, or Donald Trump, could we get Portia de Rossi to swing back over to the male side? You know what I mean? Like, she's been with a woman for a long time now, but I feel like there's more flexibility in a woman. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. The women, they're very malleable. Fluid, they call it.
Fluid. You know
what it's like those turtles. You know, a woman turtle could grow a penis and then have sex with itself. Oh. I don't know if you know this.
Is that true?
That sounds right.
Doesn't sound right to me. All right, so Portia de Rossi, she's a beautiful woman. She's Ellen's.
Yes.
She's been Ellen's partner for 15, 20 years. If her and Ellen break up, might we move her back toward the light? You know what I'm saying?
That would be a big win, you know, if we could get that going.
Yeah. Well, that would be a question for Brad Pitt and Anthony Fauci.
Oh, hold on 1 second. Let me see if he's here.
Because I know they crush pee together.
Yeah, if there's a time, it's now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if we can...
Oh.
Oh, yes, Dr. Fauci?
Yeah, if you could give me 5 minutes with that Porsche, I'd turn her right around.
Oh, really?
Creepy.
Yeah. I get it nice and moist in the shorts. All
right. Really? All
right. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, I don't know what you're planning on doing to her, but could you do it with your mask on?
Oh, yeah. Of course I'd have the mask on, Dave.
I think Dr. Fauci calls that a dental dam.
Oh, a dental dam, yeah. Because I don't know if Ellen could do what she needs to do with the mask on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I know how to please a woman. Of course, the mask that I have is a very sensitive mask. It's top of the line there. Built for that sort of thing.
Understood, Dr. Fauci. You're kind of creeping out the audience at this at this point. I think they like Stallone better.
Yeah, I'm going to stay here, though.
So
I'm going to keep talking about this.
So we'll try to get Portia de Rossi to come back toward the heterosexual side of things, and we'll see.
Yeah.
And I bet she would for Brad Pitt. I bet Brad Pitt could turn her around.
Yeah, yes? And isn't her real name Mandy Johnson, I think?
Oh, really?
I think that's her real name, yeah. I think it's Mandy Johnson. I don't know if that makes her more appealing or less appealing. I just think it's a fact as far as I know.
Everyone's got to look it up on their phone now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like that.
Okay, we'll stick with Portia.
Yeah, I was devastated when I found out Vin Diesel's real name. So don't do this to me.
Adam, her real name?
Adam Green.
Her real name is Amanda Rogers.
Amanda Roberts?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck her. She should stay with the lesbians. I'm done with her. I'm a Porsche guy. I thought that would be cool. I'm Italian, you know. I'm a Porsche guy. I got Portia de Rossi. It sounds awesome for me, but now forget it. All right, what's next, Gina Grad?
Well, if you still like other celebrities, Matthew McConaughey is about to debut as an author. He's the Oscar winner, and he has announced his first book. It's a memoir called Green Lights. McConaughey says it was inspired by his lifelong habit to write in a journal, and he did give a statement about the book. It's called Green Lights. He describes it like this.
It's an album, a record, a story of my life so far. This is 50 years of my sights and scenes, felts and figured outs, cools and shamefuls, gracious truths, and beauties of brutality. Getting away with, getting caught, and getting wet, so I'm trying to dance between the raindrops.
Is that Kyle Dunnigan doing Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah, was that
him? That was my fiance, Andy Harris.
Oh, okay, okay. I was going to say, it's still funny.
Still very good. But that is a direct quote about the book. It says it's a love letter to life, and it will be published on October 20th.
All right.
So pre-order.
Can we add, let's be honest about Matthew McConaughey. I know he's a Texan, right? Is he a Texan?
Yeah.
What if Matthew McConaughey didn't look good with his shirt off? Would we give two shits about what that idiot has to say? That guy's a fucking stoner idiot who smells like ass all the time. But he's some kind of poet because he looks good with his shirt off and he gets commercials. Every commercial he has, he's always thinking. You know, he's sitting there next to a bottle of wild fucking turkey or whatever he's drinking. What's he drinking?
Well, it's Wild Turkey. He's also been in ads for
Lincoln.
Was it Buick or Lincoln, whatever the fuck
it is. You know,
he's had a combined zero words.
He doesn't do anything. He sits in a Lincoln Navigator and thinks, you know, like, I'm thinking about ice fishing. Yeah, I'm looking important. He looks smart, but I don't think there's anything going on in his fucking head. And that he's does his Wild Turkey thing. You know what? He's so fucking lazy for commercials. He won't talk. He won't act. He won't do anything. He just sits there and looks cool by the product. I wouldn't be surprised if his agent just said, we have to take Wild Turkey and Lincoln and combine them into one shoot. Like, we need Matthew McConaughey just drinking Wild Turkey sitting in a Lincoln. It's not going to be running. I know it sends a little bit of a...
The mothers of Mad might have a problem with that.
Mothers against drunk driving. You know it's something that's ironic? The organization Mad, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, are not as angry as the group known as GLAAD. That's the Gay and Lesbian Anti-Defamation Department. So the folks that are in a group called MAD are not nearly as pissed off as a group who's called GLAAD. Go fucking figure, right? So anyway, McConaughey is going to write a fucking book and all the doofuses are going to buy it because he looks good with his fucking shirt off. I'll tell you how... here's how you know that guy's a hack. Here's how you know, and I mean it. Once in a while, there'll be some actor, and he'll go, I want to make my movie. Like, I want to make my project. Like, I want to produce it, or I want to star in it and direct it or write it or whatever. Like, I want to make my project. And I know what his project is. He made a movie called Surfer Dude. And the reason I know he made a movie called Surfer Dude is because he made it the same time as I made my movie, The Hammer. And his movie was a fucking piece of shit because he's an idiot. And I'm jealous. What is Surfer Dude on Rotten Tomatoes? Because that's what happens when you let Matthew McConaughey go. Like, you go, just go ahead and make your own movie with your fucking friends and we'll see what a piece of shit it turns out to be. We're not going to cast you in one of our smart or cool movies where you get to walk around with your shirt off looking like you're thinking about something. All right. He's probably stoned and fucking right now, right?
That guy gave me crabs.
Well, don't... What is, wow.
All right. What?
Wow.
Zero. He made... This is his movie. What a shocker. Shirts off on the fucking cover. This is his pet project. This is Matthew McConaughey outside of the studio system going, I got an idea. I'm making my own movie. Zero on Rotten Tomatoes. Zero. What did he do? Did he produce that or start it? Like, as friends of his were, like, directed it or something? This is when you let Matthew McConaughey off his leash, is what you get. Zero. Oh, he's so interesting. Yeah, he's fucking playing the bongos with his shirt off, stone. Fuck him.
And don't forget the Triumph. Remember the movie Tiptoes we talked about?
Oh, right.
And He and Kate Beckinsale are getting married, but there's something that she doesn't know about his family. They're all little people, and Gary Oldman walks on his knees the whole movie.
Yeah, that's a good film, though. I saw that.
One day, I'm going to find that movie where Jerry Lewis played the Holocaust clown.
The Day the Clown Cried.
What's it called?
The Day the Clown Cried.
I'm going to find that, and then I'm going to find the Tiptoes movie, and I'm going to eat a bunch of mushrooms, and I'm just going to sit in my theater at home and watch it until I cry. He's a professor at UT? Wow, so he's just up there with his shirt off and a bandana talking about acting. Ugh. What's he a professor of? Acting. Yeah, okay. Listen, here's the whole thing. When you're fat and you're ugly and you're a known actor, you can fucking act. When you just look hot with your shirt off, you ain't an actor.
When you're Paul Giamatti or Philip Seymour Hoffman, you can act your ass off.
That's right. Those guys are actors. What was that movie? So, and Surfer Dude, did he star in it and did he produce it or what did he do?
I'm just saying he starred in it.
When, I think it was his friends or, I don't know, he made it. It wasn't like
he produced it as well, but he didn't write or direct it.
He produced it. Ugh.
Yeah, you wouldn't know about it if there wasn't something like that attached to it. This is not a movie anyone should have ever heard of. And by the way, it's not Surfer Dude. It's Surfer, Dude.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, I don't know if that's supposed to make it better, but I don't think it helped in this case with a zero in Rotten Tomatoes.
All right. What else we got, Gina Grant?
Has anyone ever wondered what space smells like? Because if you're... Yeah, what outer space smells like?
I don't think anyone would ever know, because when you're up there, you're getting pumped in oxygen right into your spacesuit.
Right.
Actually, Mr. Stallone is the closest of all of you. So NASA has worked with a company that created a cologne that supposedly smells like outer space, and it looks like they're about to pull it off. They've done a campaign to raise money. They have like $15,000. They've surpassed their goal, and it's called Eau de Space. It smells like gunpowder, seared steak, raspberries, and rum.
Yeah. When I did Cliffhanger, Adam, I could smell space.
Oh, that's right.
But very high up.
Isn't that going to cause problems? Like when you come home and your wife's there and she's like, have you been to outer space again? And you're like, no, are you fucking those Martians? No, I just put on my cologne at the office. Come on. I know what space smells like. Why don't they invent a fragrance called stripper glitter where you actually... Sorry.
No, what were the things? It was gunpowder, rum, something else, raspberry. Smells like Stallone's trailer from Cobra.
Garden snake.
A cobra, right. You're doing garden snake now. I don't know what happened to Gina. Did she drop off?
Right, she obviously has contempt for her audience.
Gina. Yeah, I think she froze. She just texted me.
Sly Stallone?
Yeah, I'll do the news from now on.
You do the news. Have you worked with Matthew McConaughey? You guys, you must have done movies.
I was in Surfer Dude. I didn't want to say it because I was...
Really? I'm embarrassed now. I didn't know you were in that movie.
I play his dad. I said, you stop surfing, dude. And he keeps on surfing. We have a very contentious relationship.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But it was a zero on Rotten Tomatoes, you understand?
Yeah, it didn't even get one tomato.
No, it was... Well, it got tomatoes, but I think they were all rotten.
Oh, I thought that meant there were no tomatoes at all.
No, they have tomatoes. You just got rotten tomatoes. You didn't get...
Wait, but if there's zero rotten tomatoes, that's good.
No.
You don't want any rotten tomatoes.
No, you didn't get zero rotten tomatoes. You got zero
that's
fresh
what
tomatoes.
That's you just said to me, all right? You said that to me, you know?
No, I don't...
Oh, you look stupid.
I'm not trying to fight with you, Sly, but you got zero
you're being
fresh
contagious right now. You've been very contagious with me right now.
All right. I'm not trying to show you any disrespect. I'm saying the movie you were in, Surfer Dude, got zero fresh tomatoes and all rotten tomatoes, not no rotten tomatoes.
Oh, well, that doesn't sound good.
All right, well, if Gina's gone...
Apparently, McConaughey and Sloan wrote a documentary together called Junket Whore in 1998, but I can't imagine you guys shared any scenes.
Oh, that's right. We did Junket Whores together.
You guys did a documentary together in 98.
Yeah, I forgot about it, but that's where I got the crabs. I knew I got them, but I wasn't sure when. But it was from that horror movie we did in 98. Documentary.
All right, well, Sly, a.k.a. Kyle Dunnigan, I should say, you can check out on Instagram at KyleDunnigan1. And shoot him a tweet at Kyle Dunnigan and Kyle Dunnigan, the website, KyleDunniganComedy.com. Kyle, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
You were awesome as usual. Bald and Gina, I'll bid you guys adieu. And since Gina's not coming back anyway, and I'll get you guys ready for a little Adam Carolla's Unprepared. So you got to think of one word that I can do a stand-up comedy bit on. And hold on, think about it. I'll do it. First, let me just hit a quick spot here. Simply Safe. Most home security companies, they trap you with those high prices and lock-in contracts and lousy customer support. Simply Safe. It's a no-brainer. There's two eyes in there, an arsenal of sensors and cameras in every room, window, and door tailored specifically to your home. Professional monitoring day and night, ready to send police, fire, medical professionals, whatever it is. Set it up in under an hour, just peel and stick. The batteries last up to 10 years, everyone. You don't have to drill holes or pull wire or crawl underneath the house. No hidden fees, no small print. It starts at just $15 a month. It's Simply Safe, right, Dawson?
Head to simplysafe.com/Adam and get a free HD camera for our listeners. That's simplysafe.com/Adam to make sure they know that our show sent you.
All right. So, shall we do a little Adam Carolla's Unprepared? You put out a word right there. We got a hand up. A dutiful woman with her hand up. Most of the animals just scream shit out, but you put your hand up and your diligence shall be recognized.
Fair?
Fair?
Fair.
What's fair? I don't like the word fair. Fair is something that kids say. I don't know why adults use the word fair. Like, it's not fair. When you're the last time you used the word fair should be on your 9th birthday. It's not fair. After that, you shouldn't use the word fair anymore unless you're talking about the Renaissance fair. Because if you're talking about the Renaissance fair, that's cleavage for days and mutton chops as long as the... As long as the day. But fair, yeah. I'm fucking tired of everyone wanting their fair share. I want my fair share. You want your fair share? First off, you have to define what a fair share is. How do you fucking think this society works? We just take a pie and we whack it up and we go, how many human beings do we have on the planet? Oh, there's 7 billion people. All right, we'll cut the fucking pie in 7 billion equal pieces and hand them out and then everyone can have their fucking fair share. Go get your fair share. I don't want to hear about your fair share and fuck you with the taxes, you know? Like, when are you going to start paying your fair share? Fair share? Let's work that out. It drives me nuts to be like, it's high time these rich people start paying their fair share. You should have never used that fucking phrase, fair share, with me. Because here's the deal. You want to know what my fair share is? We'll just figure out what the average American pays in the United States. And if the average American makes $52,000 a year, and the average tax on that $52,000 a year is $17,000 a year, then that's the fair share. Then guess what? I owe $17,000 a year. That's my fair share, unless I'm getting something. Do I have my own garbage man? Can I drag a fucking mattress out to the street and just make a phone call? Hey, Chip, yeah, bring the garbage truck. And the next time I get a fucking parking ticket, I can just go, oh, wait a minute. I'm in the High Rollers Club. I don't pay these things. And hand it back. And the next time I get pulled over for a speeding ticket, I go, oh, no, I'm in the Platinum Club. I pay a ton in taxes. No, I get nothing. I don't get to use the park any more than anybody. As a matter of fact, the people that use the shit out of the park are the people who don't pay their fair share. We're fucking working all week. These assholes are sitting around hammering welfare checks. And then when you go to the park on Saturday, they're like, excuse me, we had a soccer game planned. And you're like, fuck, I'm paying for the fucking park. So the fair share is your part of what you owe. So I'm tired of all the fucking people who tell me, first off, let me tell you something. It drives me fucking nuts. There is no share. You're guaranteed no share, zero share. No one has to share anything with you, and you are guaranteed no share. But here's the good deal. The deal is you were born in the United States, and over here you can go make your share. You don't have to fucking wait. This notion of like, well, I'm going to wait around until some politician gives me a share of their share. I don't know. Has that ever worked in the history of humanity? Has anyone ever kicked down their share to you and made your life better? They don't do that. That's not how this works. You get up and you go to work and you get a bigger share, or you fucking stay home and watch TV and beat off. But then don't complain to me about your fare and your fucking share. Thank you. Now, if we're talking about Cher the Entertainer, by the way, how would her song Half Breed go over today? Half Breed. Yeah, and then she's also singing Cher, other Cher, C.H. Cher, was Cher also has an extended dance version on the word Cher. Cher had a song called Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves, right? She was like, Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves. And she was insulted because they're like proud gypsy people. And she'd go, they called us tramps and thieves. And then she'd go, but every night when the sun went down, all the men would come around and lay their money down. So apparently you guys are whores. Because 5 minutes ago, you were complaining about being called a tramp, but the next lyric in the song was all the men would come around and lay their money down. Do you think they were playing pinochle, or do you think they were plowing gypsies? Because in old-timey songs, at night, when the men would come around and lay their money down, they were fucking gypsies. That's a euphemism for fucking gypsies. If I ever say to my wife, oh, the streetlights are on, I'm going to go to the gypsy camp and lay my money down, she should smell my dick when I come home, because it's going to smell like gypsy. And then she'll announce you have gypsy dick again. And I'm going to go, yes, because they came around and I laid my money down. What? I've triggered you. Oh, sorry for triggering you about talking about gypsy dick. Gypsy dick sounds like something that penicillin would work on, but the test would be painful. Like, you ever got a test for gypsy dick? Oh, it is not. They got to put the whole swab up the urethra, and then they got to do a culture, and then Dr. Drew's got to come through the door and inform you you have gypsy dick. Have you been fucking Cher again? Well, you know, when they come around, I got to lay my money down. Every night, all the men would come around and lay the money. And by the way, if you are a traveling group of whores who comes to the outskirts of town and takes men's money to have in exchange for sex, do not be offended when they call you a tramp. As a matter of fact, that's an upgrade from whatever you're doing. Tramp is as nicely as they can couch it. To describe your activities, tramp is a compliment. The gypsy part just is what it is. And the thieves part needs to be investigated. I'm not going to judge that. I'm not going to render a judgment on that. But the Gypsy and the Tramp part, right and right. Sorry. What were we on, Cher? That Cher. Yeah, what Cher did you want? Sharing? Oh, fair. Sorry, I got from fair to share. Oh, I did fair and brought myself to share. Okay, I got it. I had a fucking enchilada with American cheese in it today, and I'm not right. I got to be honest with you. I'm just not. I got my flora and my fauna thrown off. You know what I mean? I need like a probiotic or something. I didn't know what to make of an enchilada with Velveeta in it, and I may never be right again. I don't know. I don't know if I can ever love again after that fucking enchilada I had.
So we don't know.
What's that?
Oh,
where did we go? Maxipata, where did we go? Because that little fucker recommended this place. Where did we go? Rosario's. We went to Rosario's. Don't ever order the cheese enchiladas at Rosario's. That's where we went. That's right. By the way, it's called Tex-Mex, not White Trash Mex. You guys are Texans. You're not fucking trailer trash. Although Gina's family, evidently. Yeah.
Belichick.
Bill Belichick. I like that. That sounds like a coach, doesn't he? Bill Belichick. We got to watch the X's and O's with Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is a... They always call him a genius, but I think he's a football genius. I don't think he's just a genius. It's not like he invented anything. He just wins football games and has little to no personality. It's going to be interesting if Bill Belichick continues his winning ways this year without Tom Brady, or in fact falls off and then Tom Brady goes to Tampa and keeps his winning ways going. I'll tell you this. I have had Super Bowl parties have either been at Jimmy Kimmel's house or my house for the last 20 years. And in the last 20 years, I feel like the Patriots have been involved with 23 years of the last fucking 20 years of the Super Bowl. It's like, who are they playing this year? Fucking crush my Rams 2 times. It's embarrassing. And the person I hate the most, way more than any Patriots fan or Bill Belichick or Tom Brady or Bob Kraft or any of those guys, is the person who's at the Super Bowl party and it's like, Tom Brady's going for his 11th Super Bowl win, and they're playing the Bengals, who've never won a Super Bowl. And then you turn to the person and you go, who are you rooting for? And they go, I like to see the Patriots win. And I go, why? You from the New England area? No, I'm from Flagstaff. Did you go to school in the Boston area or something? No. Do you have any affiliation or association with the New England Patriots? No, I'd just like to see them win their 12th. You'd like to see this fucking rich guy who's banging a supermodel win his fucking 12th Super Bowl, and there's this other piece of shit town that's never won a Super Bowl, ever, and their basketball team sucks, and their baseball team sucks, and they're fucking beleaguered, and the coach has AIDS, and you're rooting against that team? Yeah, just like to see the Patriots win. Get the fuck out of my party. Take your fucking nachos and get out of here. Who is that person? How insecure do you have to be to root for the team to win their fucking 15th Super Bowl? So Belichick is evidently a genius, although I gotta talk to his wife, and I gotta get her drunk, and I gotta go... You know, they say your husband Bill's a genius, and she'd get all fucking, she'd laugh, and she'd go, a genius. I saw him with the garage remote pointing it at the TV the other day, trying to change the fucking channel. You tell me he's a genius? As a genius, he was looking for his sunglasses, they were on his head. He's a fucking idiot. I'd like his wife to get drunk and rat his ass out, because I guarantee she wouldn't sign off on the genius. I've been called a genius before. Talk to Lynette for 10 minutes. She would not endorse that that statement now. So it'd be nice if the Patriots just went on a little skid for like 150 years, right? Just we don't need to see them in the fucking Super Bowl ever again. All right, do we have one more? Right here, hands up.
The Spurs.
The Spurs. Oh, wait a minute. We like the Rockets. We like the Spurs. Who do we like here?
No NBA right now.
No NBA? They're playing in the bubble. They got the, you know, there's a weird thing about sports, which is like if you grow up, is Popovich still the coach? Yeah. Fuck that guy. That guy's such an asshole. That guy, so he's all down with Black Lives Matter. But you have any thoughts about China, douche, or no? No, it's like, he's like, oh, the oppression of the people, the oppression of the people, the people, the oppression of the people. Yeah? What about China? Any thoughts about Hong Kong? Huh? Any thoughts about Hong Kong and the oppression? I got to look into that. I don't know, and I don't think about that. Oh, you know everything about all the people being oppressed, but you fucking don't know jack shit about the real people that are being oppressed? That you don't have any thoughts about that, or are they fucking signing your paychecks, you fucking hypocrite? Just shut your mouth. Shut up. And here's the thing. You can have no thoughts about China. Fine. Play stupid when it comes to Hong Kong, when it comes to China, when it comes to taking the Uyghurs and the Muslims and carting them off to fucking slave camps so they can make your cell phones and your tennis shoes. Fine. But then shut the fuck up about what's going on in this country. Don't tell me about this country's so bad. Yeah, you're in a locker room with a bunch of guys whose salary averages $11.7 million a year. But all the fucking oppression here in the United States. But you have no thoughts about who you're doing business with in China. Shut up. You're a hypocrite. Shut up. You're gonna fucking spare me your fucking morality tales, okay, Papa fucking bitch. That guy's nickname in high school had to be Papa Zit, right? Because he kind of has... He's got a little scarring. I'm telling you right now, anyone who went to high school with Coach Popovich, if you fucking missed Papa Zit, you fucking left money on the table. That's on you. I guarantee that guy had bad skin in high school, and it was so easy to build a bridge over to Papa Zit, and if you didn't hit that, then that's on you. I met Chris Laxamana the day I met him. I called him Chris Maxipata. I couldn't believe his fucking friends didn't turn you into a maxi pad.
Yeah, me neither. It's crazy.
But he must have been Popposite in high school, right?
Yeah.
All right, had to be. All right, so anyway, he needs to shut the fuck up. And basketball, I was watching them playing there in the bubble the other day, and it's like, it's fine, but do we need to, like, simulate the crowds? Like, do these guys, are their egos that fragile that they need fake people in the group and the sound effect? And then here's what I'm saying. Where does it end? You know what I mean? Like, if you can't play a game of hoop in front of some digital virtual people, where does it end? Like, are you going to start being like, I'd like to fuck you, honey, but there's no crowd. Like, I need a peanut gallery here before I get my dick out. Because I feel like this is where we're going. Like, the average 10-year-old is just going to go, I can't eat this bowl of cereal without a stadium filled with people that are screaming my name. I can't make a solid BM without a group of folks clapping and handing me toilet paper. You know what I realized? I realized the problem started, thinking about sports and kids the other day, the problem started, remember when they started putting kids' pictures on the box of Wheaties? And then kids would be like, look at me, sportsman of the year. I'm on a box of Wheaties. And I'm like, you went to Knott's Berry Farm and your parents paid $11. That don't make you the ironically now Bruce Jenner. So anyway, basketball's all fucking woke and no joke, and Popovich is at the tip of the spear, and that's all well and good, but just I got questions about China. That's all. All right, let's do one more, shall we? Wait, I hear nipple ring?
Nipple piercings.
Nipple piercings. All right, nipple piercing. Oh, that's a good one to go out on. I don't like nipple piercings. I don't like nipple piercings because I keep, especially a hoop, the dumbbell thing going through there, I'm not a fan of. But I don't like the hoop because I always picture it getting caught on something. Like, how do you hop a fence with two fucking hoops hanging off your titties? Like, what happens if you're a dude and you got the two hoops hanging off your titties and a dog is chasing you? What are you supposed to do? You got to stop and negotiate. You can't go over that fence. It'll rip your tits off. I don't like it. I don't like it with women. I don't like it on big tits. I don't like it on small tits. I don't like it on a train. I don't like it in a plane. I don't like it in a box. And I don't like it with a fox. I do not like green eggs and tits, Sam, I am. It's weird. Like, here's the whole thing about nipple piercings are like, you see those assholes? Like, I like cars, right? And I see what the assholes do to cars. Like, stupid people do stupid shit to cars, right? And they have shit with cars where they'll have these, like, weird vents, like plastic chrome vents, and they have double stick tape on them, and you can just stick them on the front fender by the hood, and it looks like they're doing something, but they're not. And your car still, by the way, is a Pontiac Aztec from 1997. It's a piece of shit, and now it's a piece of shit with plastic stuck to it. And here's my whole thing. Be an Aston Martin, be a Ferrari, be a Humvee, be whatever the fuck you are. Sticking plastic shit to yourself doesn't make you a better model. You're either hot or you're not. You want to get better looking? Start working out. That's all. Or dye your hair. Or start doing lunge squats or something. You putting tattoos on yourself and drilling holes in yourself and putting dumbbells and hoops and shit, the multiple piercing on the ears, the nipples, the tongue, the lip, the fucking Dennis Rodman nose thing that always drives me nuts. Zeke has got that now on the Cowboys. He keeps adding shit. His fucking nose is turning into a chandelier. Every time I see that guy, he's got a new thing hanging off his nose. And by the way, I can barely keep my nose clean just now. Like, I'm always, like, scraping or someone's like, you got a booger. Oh, yeah, and you got the booger every once in a while that works like a piston when you're breathing. It's, like, coming in and out, you know. So 3 more weeks of winter if that booger sees its own shadow. Stop bolting shit to your nipples, your ears, your tongue. Stop painting shit. I don't know. I'm walking around here. I'm seeing chicks with tats on their thighs. Just go ahead and be hot, or just be a fucking good mom, a good school teacher, and a good citizen. But stop adding shit to yourself. Oh, thank you, guys. I think that's a powerful, important note to go out on. Don't stick shit onto yourself. Don't stick shit onto your car.
What about
Andrew Cuomo?
His nipple,
does he have nipple piercings?
Yes.
Does he have Andrew? Andrew Cuomo has nipple piercings? He does not. Well, hold on. The biggest city in the country is being run by a guy with nipple piercings? That can't be true. You can see it. That's weird, right? I cannot accept any policy from a man who has jewelry in his nipples. Are you sure it's not cold in that briefing room? He is actually... Is this is true?
He is in hell.
Oh, good. All right. Well, good. That guy scares me now. And it's always creepy. And by the way, it's like... We live in a sad country because this guy is considered the most eligible bachelor in the United States. And it's like, oh, okay. So here, how do you women work this attractive thing? Like, you look for the governor who has the highest death rate, and you look for... So your thing is like, yeah, Ron DeSantis of Florida, you're okay. I'm marginally attracted to you. What's the death toll? It's about 7,000 people. That's okay. But I'm looking for 35,000 people. The person that caused that, that guy's getting a blowjob. All right. Thank you guys for... Oh, wait, I got one more spot. I do hear Max Bet. Did I do LifeLock? Yeah, no, let me hit LifeLock and then we'll get the hell out of here. LifeLock, yeah, 2019 data breach of MGM Resorts impacted more than 142 million hotel guests, everyone. The hacker put the hotel's data up for sale on the dark web. That's where you find the pictures of the barbells and the nipples there. $2,900 they sold those, each person's data for. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives every day. You put your info out there, protect yourself with LifeLock. It's 2020, you're shopping, you're doing everything online. Good, get a little insurance, get LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Nice job, Dawson. All right. I want to thank Kyle Dunnigan for coming out here tonight, being so goddamn good. And until next time, Sam Kroll for Kyle Dunnigan and Gina Grad and Bald Brian saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow the Ace Man on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere. Get the links at adamcarolla.com.
And before we get out of here, one more thanks to Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? What do you do? Do you want a bundle? Well, you own or you rent, or you got to have insurance. You got to have auto insurance. Bundle it. Make it easy. Save money. Let's get it under one roof at Geico. At geico.com, get a quote. See just how much you could be saving on your homeowners and your rental insurance when you bundle. That's Geico, geico.com.